And now for this morning's scripture from Genesis 1, 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and other disciple, and one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken away the Lord. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out, Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message coming from Pastor Don Thalman, entitled "The Re-Creation Story."
April 20th, I think that's Saturday. More information's coming, but the good news is we're going to have the containers out. Are we good?
Are you muted?
What's that?
Are you muted?
Oh, I'm unmuted? Okay. But there's going to be containers right out here, so you can bring your stuff in as early as Tuesday.
Maybe they should turn it down when they check the mute.
I should have waited until towards the end of the message to wake y'all up.
Okay. Hello. A whisper says as much as a shout, right? All right. So thank you, tech team, for getting me hooked back up. I must have bumped it while I was trying to get it on my belt. But anyway, so we're going to have a couple of containers out here, so you can bring your stuff in anytime from Tuesday for almost a two-week period to fill those up, and let's bless our community with the stuff that we really don't need anymore. And someone else, I'm sure, can be blessed by it. That last time we were out here, I got to tell you, it was so nice. We had a woman and her mother sat on one of the couches we were giving away for about 3 hours because they had to wait for a truck, and they like, I've never had anything this nice in my life. And she did not want to take a chance on turning her back, and someone else had grabbed it. She sat right there and waited for a truck, folks. We truly are blessing our community with this, so I thank you for that. And more information will come on that free yard sale again and the change of the date. All right, well, we are on Easter Sunday. He is risen. All right, and today we're going to be talking about the re-creation story. Let's start out with prayer. Lord, may these words from my mouth and these meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. All right, well, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to save it and not condemn it. Sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? Especially if we're feeling down on ourselves, we feel like we might be condemned, but that's not God's will. His will is to save us. And today we're going to see that the empty tomb story from John's gospel is actually a recreation story. And that's exciting. God is recreating the world through Jesus Christ, and he wants to recreate us as well and redeem us. So let's go to the story. It was just read a few moments ago, but I'm going to be reading parts of today's scripture reading from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I'm going to be reading parts and then talk about that particular part of the scripture. First of all, with verses 1 and 2, it says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone that had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, 'They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.'" The empty tomb story in John's gospel begins in darkness. Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb while it was still dark. The other gospel stories do begin a little bit later when there's a little bit of daylight, but in John, Mary arrives at the tomb in dark and is struck with fear when she finds the stone has been moved away. She runs off and finds Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved. Most of us assume that's John because he was a disciple of love, but there are some out there that believe it could have been Nicodemus. As Jesus and Nicodemus had such a close relationship as well. But they frantically tells these two that someone's taken away Jesus' body, and she doesn't know where they could have put him. Mary's concern were actually fairly legitimate. Tomb robbery was pretty common back in those days. Pirates and thieves would break into tombs and remove the bodies and sometimes pilferage anything that was with them, sometimes contact the families, almost a ransom sort of thing. But it was reasonable for her to assume that someone had, in fact, stolen Jesus' body, whether that or, of course, there was concern about someone would steal the body to fake the resurrection. Now on to John chapter 20, verse 3 through 10. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linens. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and he believed. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So here we have Peter and the other disciple, and they're very alarmed by Mary's report. All they know is the stone was moved and the body's not there anymore. They both got up and ran to the tomb. The unnamed disciple was a bit faster and got there first. He bent down, he peeked in the tomb, and all he could see was a pile of the burial linens. Peter catches up and goes straight into the tomb. Jesus' body was in fact gone, only the strips of cloth that had wrapped his body and then the napkin for his face were left in the tomb. Does that sound odd to anybody? If it were really bandits that stole the body? That they would unwrap the body and leave cloth behind? Or would they rather carry the body fully wrapped? The scripture says that the unnamed disciple enters the tomb and assesses the situation, and he sees and he believes. For a little more on this topic, if you weren't up at sunrise service, check out the website. That's what this morning's topic was, and it was a beautiful morning. Praise God. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. Again, the two disciples have already left the tomb. And it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him, that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me what you have put him, and I'll go get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said, 'Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go ahead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I've seen the Lord,' she exclaimed, and she told them that he had said these things to her." All right, so first of all, who was this Mary Magdalene? We hear all kinds of stories, all kinds of rumors about who and what she was. So I wanted to clear some things up real quick. In Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, it says that we learn that Mary was someone who had seven evil spirits come out of her. She was part of a small group of wealthy women who traveled with Jesus and the disciples and were helping to support them out of their own means. So Mary was actually one of Jesus' patrons. This means she had some amount of wealth. Nowhere in the description, in the scripture, does it say that Mary was a prostitute, although somehow she's gained that reputation. Nor does it say that prostitution was one of the evil spirits that came out of her. Prostitutes made just enough money to pretty much buy a loaf of bread, so it kept them at the very poverty level. So there's no way she could have amassed modest wealth in order to support Jesus and the disciples financially. More than likely, given her name, Mary Magdalene, she was probably from the community of Magdala, which was a town known for fishing industry. So she probably had a business there in the fishing market, as Jesus and the disciples frequented along the shores of Galilee and actually is documented to have talked in the temple in Magdala. So now the story starts to get really interesting as we turn back to it. Still weeping, Mary bends down to look into the tomb, and what does she see? She sees two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. The angels ask her what seems to be a pretty ridiculous question. Woman, why are you crying? Mary's still convinced that a tomb robbery has taken place. They've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they put him. At that point, Mary turns around and she sees someone who she assumes is a gardener. She didn't recognize him, and the fact that the tomb was situated in a garden made her assume that this guy's a gardener. But it wasn't the gardener, it was her teacher, it was her Lord, it was her friend, it was Jesus. She didn't recognize him, and he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" I want to pause for a second because something really beautiful is emerging from this story, and I don't want us to miss it. John is showing us how Jesus' resurrection is a recreation story. He's giving us some hints that point back to the beginning of his gospel and the beginning of the creation story in Genesis. How does Genesis open? With the words, "In the beginning." How does John's gospel open? With the words, "In the beginning." What does Genesis say about the earth? Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And how does our story open? While it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb. We have darkness in Genesis. We have darkness here in John. And where is Mary standing? In the middle of a garden. And where does the account of Adam and Eve take place? In a garden. The story of Adam and Eve is one that begins with life, but because of sin, ends with death. This story in the garden begins with death, but because of the goodness of God, ends with resurrected life. The resurrection of Jesus reverses the curse in Genesis and begins the recreation of the world. And what did God do after he removed Adam and Eve from the garden? He placed a flaming sword and something else in front of the tree of life to protect it. What else did he place besides the flaming sword? Who remembers? Two angels to guard it. And what do we have sitting there in the empty tomb, dressed in white, asking Mary while she's weeping? The two angels. Wouldn't it be cool if they were actually the same angels that God said, went to the tree of life and said, "Hey guys, you're done here now. We don't need to do this anymore. I've got a new task for you. I've got another garden to send you to right now." Those are just a few of the hints from John that Jesus and his resurrection started the recreation story. Now back to our story today. Jesus, mistaken as a gardener, just asked Mary, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And Mary, for the third time, states, "The body's been taken. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him." Then he said, "Mary." And instantly Mary recognized the voice of her teacher, of her Savior, of her friend Jesus. It's a wonderful thing how Jesus called her by name. He knows her name. He sees her. Peter and the unnamed disciple left the garden without supporting her or her pain. But Jesus sees. He sees and loves her and calls her by name. I want us all to understand that Jesus sees us too. He knows you and he knows me and he loves us all. And he sees us as we really are, not as who we pretend to be. He doesn't pay attention to our social media posts or the facades we put on when we go out in public to try to convince people we're someone or something that we're not. He sees us and loves us exactly as we are. He sees our hurts, he sees our disappointments, he sees our resentments, our anger, he sees us in our worst moments, and he loves us. He sees our hopes, he sees our dreams, he sees the true desires of our hearts, he sees us in our best moments, and he loves us. He said one word, Mary. She gets so excited, she shouts, Rabboni! She knew it right at that moment. And what does he tell her to do? Go tell my brothers, or go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary went to the disciples with the news. I've seen the Lord, she said. The first garden story ends with them being expelled from the garden because of sin and death. The second garden story ends with Mary actually being sent out on an assignment with good news of life and resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the beginning of the recreation. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, Jesus says, I'm making everything new. By everything, he means us too. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a turning point in history. It's when God in Christ began recreating this world. And eventually, he's going to heal it all. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means that he has overcome death. Jesus had to endure death. He had to go through it. He had to experience it in order to overcome it. There was no going around it or avoiding it. He had to go through it. And he took it on. He endured it. He overcame it. And that's why, as of today, death itself has been defeated. It's like we said on Good Friday here at our service. Jesus knew that in order for there to be an Easter Sunday, there had to be a Good Friday. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 through 23, it says this, But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For in Adam, all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive. Again, putting right that which went wrong in the creation story. God's been recreating the world through Jesus for these last 2,000 plus years, and the work continues today. And it continues in the world around us, as well as in each and every one of us that welcomes him in. And he wants us to join in this effort. Jesus is alive and he is risen. Amen.